My scripture reading today is in Ecclesiastes. It's a book of the Bible that we don't seem like visit real often. But Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and starting at verse 1. Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. Divide your portion to seven or even to eight, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. If the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth. And whether a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, wherever the tree falls, there it lies. He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Just as you do not know the path of the wind and how bones are formed in the womb of the pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. Sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening, for you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed, or whether both of them alike will be good. The light is pleasant, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of your young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's here, and we ask your blessings on them and blessings on their family. And Heavenly Father, let us always seek to do your will. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit lead and guide everything that's said and done in the remainder of this service, and let it be to your praise and glory. In the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask these things, and amen. In thinking about the message today, and in trying to listen to what God would speak to me and the Holy Spirit impress upon me, at home, on a shelf, a framed prayer is really special to me. And that prayer is the prayer of Jabez. Have you ever heard of that? Well, no doubt you've read it, and it is wonderful the way that it is written. But I want to point out a little something about it to you, and I want to sort of get your mind going in certain directions and thinking about what God would have to say to you and press upon your heart as you think about these two scriptures that I want to look at to start. In 1 Chronicles 4 and 10, let's go there. And this is the prayer of Jabez. 4 and 10. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. If you're like me, when I wanted to read that prayer of Jabez for myself in the Bible, in my Bible, it didn't exactly read like my little frame prayer of Jabez. And this is what was different. at the end of that prayer that I have on my shelf at home, it ended up saying, Jabez saying to God, keep me from evil that I might not cause pain. Does that sound more like it, more familiar? And I didn't research every translation of the Bible. I have my own, and I really love the way it expresses the Word of God. But the interesting thing is that Jabez asked for the will of God. He asked for God's blessings. He asked for his borders to be enlarged. In a sense, that's seems a little materialistic, depending on how you look at it. But he was calling on God to bless him. And from my little framed prayer, I loved that it said, keep me from evil that I might not cause pain. You know, that touches my heart. And another thing that the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said words that is found in Isaiah 55 and 6. And let's look at that. Isaiah 55 and 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Do you think the implications might be that perhaps due to some sort of circumstances that it might come to a point in your life that you would need to call on God, you would want to call on God, but you could not find God in your prayers. You could not feel His presence. That tug of your heart that lets you know that it is God's Spirit speaking to you. What if there was a time in your life that you so wanted and needed God's presence and Him to speak to you and Him to answer your cries and answer your prayer, and for whatever reason, you could not be satisfied that you were reaching Him? How tragic. The title of my message to you today is Waiting for a Perfect Time. And my text is Ecclesiastes 11 and 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And this text is literally saying to us, don't just stand there. Do something. Do something. The writer is saying that the farmer who stands around wondering if the winds are going to be so strong and high that they will just take his seeds that he sows and blows them away so that he will not have that fruit to come. His fields would be bare. He would have no crop. And the same is true of the farmer who can't make up his mind to go out and harvest his crop for fear that it might rain. Or perhaps if he sows, then there might not be any rain to nourish the crop into bringing forth from the seed. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. This world is full of overly cautious people who are waiting for the perfect time before they do anything, before they take action, before they make corrections, before they do what they know is right, before they will walk in the truth that they have. They know to do good. They know what is the truth. But they just put it off. Inaction. Many churches are waiting for the perfect time before they expand the physical size of their building, enlarge their work, and increase their usefulness. Did you know how this church began? This church started in the home. A home. The home of my dad and mom. Inside the existing home. That's where this church started. You see how beautiful of a place we have now? Do you realize it was only a handful of dedicated people that made this possible? Do you see that it came to a point in time for action? And it's debatable if it was absolutely necessary or not. But the point is, God wants the best. He wants the best out of you. He wants the best of everything that you do for Him. He wants you to treat His house the best. With respect. Treat Him with respect. Treat everything concerning Him with respect. The highest regard. After being started in the home, you know what was done next? The next step? Adding a one-room addition onto that home, a 16 by 20 foot room, became the first actual church for us. 16 by 20 addition onto a home place. And it stayed that way for... Church started in 1940. The one room addition was added in about 1953. Around 19 years later, the work was begun on this building by a handful of people. Started by my mother and a few other dedicated adults and a little community of children from around the home place. And you see what we have to be thankful for. I would say this was not waiting for the perfect time to take action. And you see, God calls us to do certain things, even though they may seem to us at the moment to be impossible, unlikely, maybe unprofitable. But God doesn't call according to how we see things. God has His way. And it's the only way. And we should thank Him for it because He seeks our good. Other people, other churches are waiting for the perfect time to do what needs to be done. They are observing the winds and regarding the clouds. Prices are too high. Materials are scarce. Some members have had financial setbacks and cannot give much. Churches have been hampered in their growth and capacity to serve for years because they've waited for the perfect time to build and it never came. Many Christians are waiting for a perfect time before they accept their position of service in the church. They observe the winds and regard the clouds, and they never quite get around to it. Finding God's gift in your life, His reason for your being here, His reason for your even being born. God has a reason. He has a purpose. He has a plan for you, personally you. And you need to seek to find that. They will teach some in a Sabbath or a church school just as soon as they think that things are right. And this usually means never. Many Christians are waiting for a perfect time before they begin to honor God with the minimum portion of their substance that He requires, the tithe, 1/10. To tithe means to give to God's work through His church the first dollar out of 10 that comes through your hands. This is the minimum, not the maximum. For Christian stewardship is not an optional matter. Bring the increase into the house that is called by God's name, that God chooses to place His name there. An able businessman who had never tithed was made chairman of the building committee in his church. And the pastor led the church to adopt an intensive campaign for new tithers as the plan for raising the funds. And upon seeing the man's pledge card, his daughter said, "Daddy, that is much more than a tithe for you." And he answered, "Yes, I know. Maybe if the Lord will let me live long enough, I can return to Him some of the tithe I owe Him from the years before I began to tithe." He intended to tithe all along, but he had been observing the clouds regarding the wind. Many Christians are waiting for a perfect time before they begin to try to win the lost to Yeshua and to find some reason, some pretext as to why it is not a good time to talk to a person about his or her soul is the easiest thing in the world to do. Many Christians do this. To wait for a perfect time is to put off soul winning indefinitely. And there was once one who was fooled twice in his attempt to win a mother of two to Christ by the untimely visits of a next door neighbor, rather nosy neighbor. And this pastor decided that if it happened again, he was just going to go right ahead, even with that nosy neighbor popping in at the very worst for him time. And it did happen. And he did go ahead. And he won the neighbor instead of the one that he had attempted twice before to visit. If I had only listened to him, he said. It was the neighbor that the Lord was sending me to see all the time. And many Christians who are not affiliated with a church are waiting for the perfect time before they unite with a church in the community in which they live. And these are ones that sign up for all sorts of things. They sign up for utility companies. They attend the public schools, frequent the local supermarkets, and participate in many other things routinely in their daily life. But the church, their attitude is that heaven can wait. The excuses that people give for not attending to this important matter are now old hat to any experienced minister. And for the most part, these people are observing the winds and regarding the clouds. Many unsaved are waiting for a perfect time before they accept Yeshua, our Lord and Savior. I'd like for us to look at Acts 24 and 25. And I don't know if this is an NIV version or not, but it doesn't really matter. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you." He was speaking to Jesus as they were examining Jesus. He was to find what fault there was in him, why he was arrested, why the ones wanted him crucified. And Felix says, "That's enough for now. You may leave, but when I find it convenient, I will send for you." But the convenient season and time never comes. They observe the wind and they regard the clouds. While they are just thinking about it, as Psalms 39 and 3 says, within their heart, while they are just musing about it, within their heart, a fire is burning. The Holy Spirit has already tugged at their heart, and they know that it's something that they should do, something that they should have, something that they should be correcting or seeking. But one day, that fire in their heart and that flame that is within them dies. There are many that are hearing these words that I am now speaking by way of the internet. And I would like to say to them, welcome. And my love goes to you and the love of our church and the love of our brothers and sisters within the church today. And we very much are happy that you join us, and we're happy that we can be of service to you. And we ask that you listen to our service just as often as you can. God blesses us to have the ones that listen to the service over the internet so that they can hear of the blessings of Yahweh, and that they are for the ones that would turn their hearts and their minds to Him. And I say to all, and particularly the ones over the internet, I would say to not be the ones, for the many different and varied reasons, that you put off turning your heart and mind to God. And we say, even to our Christian friends, don't let it happen to you. And to the unsaved friends, while it is called today, do not harden your heart. God wants you in His family. He wants you to be a son or daughter of His. He wants to be your loving Father. And Yahweh is. And He loves you. He wants you. Let's look at Hebrews 3 verse 7 and 8. Hebrews 3 and verse 7 and 8. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. I wish for you and all that are hearing this message today a great and happy Shabbat Shalom. And if you would, stand with me and let's read God's blessing to us and our blessing to each other. Let's read it together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. And wonderful words. Bow with